Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our book pick segment. We do this every week, and it's a wonderful time in our schedule where we set aside a few moments to talk to independent booksellers in our region about the great books that are hitting their store shelves. Lily Bartels is with us, book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery, here to convince us that there are wonderful, wonderful titles. And Lily, it's just great to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Yes, I'm here to proselytize.
Excellent. We like it. So, where would you like to begin?
Well, I just came back from a regional booksellers conference that showcased a lot of great authors, and I had the opportunity to hear some of them talk about their books. And one of them was Susan Rogers, whose new book, This Is What It Sounds Like, What the Music You Love Says About You, is just a marvel. Susan Rogers is a legendary record producer turned brain scientist who in this fascinating book explains why you fall in love with the music you fall in love with. Now, she was a trailblazer in the music industry, one of the very few and very successful female record producers of the 80s and 90s, and she worked with a lot of notable musicians, most especially with Prince. She was the engineer on many of his albums, including the mega seller Purple Rain, for instance. But about 20 years into her career, she became intrigued by cognitive neuroscience, as one does, went back to school and earned a PhD, and she's now an award-winning professor at the Berklee College of Music. And This Is What It Sounds Like, she explains that we each have a unique listener profile that's based on our brain's natural response to seven key dimensions of any song. And those are, I wrote them down, authenticity, realism, novelty, melody, lyrics, rhythm, and timbre. And for every music lover, each dimension contains a personal neural sweet spot. Where music can and does provide you with your deepest experience of musical joy. I'm sure we can all relate to that.
Sure.
As a bonus, she also shares what it's like behind the scenes of record making, and that's really intriguing. I found her writing to be so incredibly engaging, and she was just a mesmerizing speaker. And as a lifelong music lover, I'm also fascinated by the ideas in this book. Recommend for anyone who loves music, any kind of music, because she also stresses that she has no tolerance for music snobs. So I heartily concur, and I heartily encourage people to pick up this book.
This Is What It Sounds Like by Susan Rogers. All right, next.
Another author that I was lucky enough to hear speak was Lori Lego Albanese, who has a new novel getting a lot of buzz, and justifiably so, called Hester. And this is a novel that imagines the Scarlet Letter from the point of view of the woman who might have inspired the character of Nathaniel Hawthorne's Hester Prynne. This woman, Isabel, is a young, very gifted seamstress who in the early 1800s leaves Scotland with her husband, who is an apothecary, but also has developed an opium addiction and a mountain of debt. So they sail to America to find a new life in Salem. But almost as soon as they arrive there, her husband, Edward, turns around and goes back to sea as a ship medic, leaving Isabel to fend for herself. But she has these remarkable sewing skills that she doesn't really even understand. But she uses them to create beautiful clothing for the local gentry women. And she starts to find meaning in her life. And at that point, she encounters the young and handsome writer, Nathaniel Hawthorne. And he is a man who is tormented by the role that his great-great-grandfather played as a judge at the Salem witch trials in the 1660s. The two of them are drawn to each other. They become intensely involved. And Isabel actually becomes Nathaniel's muse. Now, they know that their relationship could be discovered if her husband returns, although he shows no signs of returning, and also by the townspeople. This is a really deeply researched book, and it's a very plausible story. And it's also very intriguing and very thought-provoking. Throughout the narrative, you also have threads of House Salem is haunted by the witchcraft trials, but also was a stop-off point on the Underground Railroad. So you have these enslaved people who are traveling through Salem on their way to Canada. And so that is an element that also is woven into this book. If you love historical fiction, you will love this. It is beautifully written. It's a gripping tale. And the character of Isabel is unforgettable. So.
Excellent. It is called Hester. And it is by Laurie, is it Lico?
Lico.
Laurie Lico Albanese. Okay. Next up.
Some nonfiction, 100 Saturdays by Michael Frank. This is a truly incredible story of a 99-year-old woman named Stella Levy, whose conversations with the writer Michael Frank over the course of 6 years reveals the story of her life, the vanished world she was born into, her deportation to Auschwitz, and her resilience and her wisdom that's enabled her to live for a century to tell this tale. At almost 100 years old, she had never spoken in detail about her past to anyone. And then she met Michael Frank, who came to her Greenwich Village apartment one Saturday afternoon to ask her a question about the Judaria, which was the centuries-old Jewish enclave on the island of Rhodes in the Aegean Sea. That meeting turned out to be the first of 100 Saturdays over 6 years that Stella and Michael would spend together in conversation. And in his book, she goes back in time to share what it was like to grow up in this Jewish community, the dreams she had for her future, until 1943, when the Germans seized control of the island, rounded up the entire Jewish population of 1,700 people, and deported them to Auschwitz, where 90% of them were murdered on arrival. Stella survived, and she is now one of the last few survivors of the lost world of the Jews of Rhodes. You know, this book, it isn't just that this story is stunning and intelligent and riveting, but I have to say it feels like such a gift to the reader just to come to know this woman who tells this story for the first time at what is just about the actual end of her life. So she shares what it was like to grow up in this extraordinary place that's vanished, how she survived the camps, and how she constructed a life afterwards. Michael Frank presents this beautiful portrait of this woman, but we also witness the profound friendship that developed between the storyteller and the listener that she finally entrusted her life story to.
Very cool stuff. And the name of the book is 100 Saturdays by Michael Frank. Next up
is what is being marketed as a children's picture book, and I sort of take exception to that. It's called Cultured Donuts, Take a Bite Out of Art History by Chloe Tyler, in which she explores the art styles of 13 master artists, from Da Vinci to Basquiat, in this really delightful illustrated book that is a colorful introduction to great artists for kids. But it's one of those picture books in which both the text and the vibrant artwork are sophisticated enough for all savvy art lovers to enjoy. This is one of the picture books that have come in recently that I'm most excited about. Each spread of the book includes on one page information about the artist and their style of art and how it was achieved and what makes them unique. And then the facing page displays, wait for it, a pink frosted donut painted very convincingly in the style of that artist. So, for instance, in the painting done in the style of Claude Monet, you have an impressionistic pink donut floating among the water lilies that are among his most famous work. In the Salvador Dali painting, you have a melting donut, his famous melting watches. And in Picasso, you have a deconstructed pink donut that is painted in a cubist style. And there's also a good deal of easily digestible information about what motivated these artists, what other artists influenced them, and why they were drawn to the style of painting they were. It's a beautiful book. I am going to shelve it also with the adult books in the store because, as I said, I think it's a book for everyone.
The name of the book is Cultured Donuts by Chloe Tyler. I like that title. All right, next up.
So the writer Randall Munroe has had two mega popular best-selling books, What If and How To. And now he's back with What If 2, which was just released, already hit the New York Times nonfiction bestseller list. I'm going to cheat here, Joe, and I'm just going to simply read you some of the jacket copy so you can get a taste of what you're in for.
All right.
The millions of people around the world who read and loved What If still have questions, and those questions are getting stranger. Thank goodness Randall Munroe is here to help. Are you planning to ride a fire pole from the moon back to Earth? Are you hoping to cool the atmosphere by opening everyone's freezer door at the same time? Do you want to know what would happen if you rode a helicopter blade or built a billion-story building or made a lava lamp out of lava or jumped on a geyser as it erupted? Before you go on a cosmic road trip, feed the residents of New York City to a T-Rex or fill every church in the world with bananas, be sure to consult this practical guide for impractical ideas. And so Randall, like, consults really the latest scientific research on everything from swing set physics to airplane catapult design, who clearly and concisely answers his readers' questions. It's filled with bonkers science, boundless curiosity, and Randall's stick-figure comics that are hilarious. And I just want to briefly read you two tiny excerpts from the book. Someone sent him a question. If one were to stand on top of the Old Faithful geyser in Yellowstone Park, at what speed would they be launched upward by the water, and what injuries would they likely sustain? So he goes on to say that people have been injured, few have died, but in a footnote he says in one incident in 1905, the unlucky person was actually taking notes on the geyser in a notebook when she fell in, which I find uncomfortably relatable. I'm pretty sure that's how I'll go.
Yeah.
And then in a section that's just weird and worrying questions that he's received, what would it take to defeat Air Force One with a drone? Well, he doesn't answer that, but over in the corner, there's a little stick figure on the phone saying, hello, Secret Service? Yes, it's Randall again. So
yeah,
that'll give you some.
Now, back to the bananas in the church. Now, who asked that question? Because I think all parties involved should be concerned about what's
going
on there.
You know what? I think based on the first book,
yeah,
people are now trying to send him the most absurd questions, trying to stump him. But believe me when I tell you, he does provide a scientifically based response to that.
We have to take some of that on faith, don't we, Lily? You know, it's just like our best guess is like, oh, it's 4,032. Sure, what the hell? Yes?
One caveat. Do not pick up this book, as I did, thinking I was going to read a couple pages. I was into this page for 45 minutes, for 45 minutes last night, and I just finally had to make myself stop. It's that entertaining.
What If 2 by Randall Munroe. We have 1 minute and 15 seconds left, Lily.
Okay, here we go. Like a Rolling Stone by Jan S. Wenner, who most of us know was the founder, co-editor, and publisher of Rolling Stone. It's a deeply personal memoir. I just want to say that Jan Wenner has led this unbelievable life where he was like the Zelig of his generation, and really was called by his peers the greatest editor of his generation. I happen to agree with that. Anyway, this is a deeply personal memoir that describes and brings you inside the music and the politics and the lifestyle of a generation at a moment of like explosive cultural change. And really, it was rock and roll in an age of tremendous consequence. And he writes like a journalist with a lot of clarity. And he takes us into the life and work of Bob Dylan, John Lennon, Mick Jagger, Bono, Bruce Springsteen, to name a few. And may I just also say, he is close personal friends with all of them. And I'm not at all jealous. He was instrumental in the careers of Hunter Thompson, Tom Wolfe, and, of course, the incredible photographer Annie Leibovitz. He spent considerable time in the Oval Office interviewing Clinton and Obama. And Rolling Stone actually became an important platform for those ideas and for their support of these candidates. So, you know, from Jerry Garcia to the Dalai Lama, Aretha Franklin, Greta Thunberg, Wenner chose people to be seen and heard in the pages of Rolling Stone who ultimately changed American culture and values. And I'm almost done with reading this book, and it's a chunk of a book, but I kind of don't want it to end because I'm such a pop culture junkie, and I'm like in heaven reading it.
Like a Rolling Stone by Jan Wenner. And for more information on Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady and the great work they do, you can visit their website, opendoor-bookstore.com. Lily, great to have you aboard. Thanks very much, as always.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much. You can see all of our book pick lists posted online at wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Again, Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady providing today's picks.